Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Back in the guest chair this week, it's Bamboo Dong. How's it going, Bamboo?
Hi, everyone. Great to be here.
How's it been, man?
It's been good. It's been a good summer. It's been really hot in California.
Yeah. It's pretty warm, yeah, I would say.
But things have been good.
Awesome. Okay, so let's just get right into this, because we got a lot of Twitter questions, and we're taping this like 4 p.m. on Friday. So let's just dig right in. What you been watching, man? What's been good? What's been bad?
Well, in terms of recent releases on DVD and Blu-ray, I recently watched this film called The Princess and the Pilot, which was released by NIS America. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about it in The Last Shelf Life, and it is excellent. Yeah. It's really, really good. And actually, I was really surprised, because going in, I had like negative expectations. Because when you read the synopsis, it sounds really dumb. It's like, oh man, here's a pilot who has to take this would-be princess and pilot her across the ocean, you know, because there's all these bad guys and it's war. And it sounds incredibly trite, but I tell you, I was like crying at the end of the movie. It's just really simple, really pure, and I really think people should give it a chance.
I had never even heard of that before NIS picked it up.
Yeah, me too. Like, so who knew?
No idea. Yeah.
Completely unexpected. Blew me away. I do wish that they would release just like a standard DVD of it, so people could, you know, just check it out without having to commit to one of their like crazy nice boxes. I mean, it's a beautiful box, but
Especially for something that's just a film.
Right.
You're not buying like a whole TV show or anything.
Right.
It's better to just have it on like, here's a DVD that I can loan people, or
right.
You know, what might actually be in stores or whatever. that might be good. I'll definitely have to check that out. I obviously read your Shelf Life bit on it, and it sounds good. That's cool. It's nice to have a little surprise like that every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
Well, preparing for the stream this week, so I've just been watching a lot more of the streams. I probably right now, the show that I look the most forward to every single week is Attack on Titan. I don't know if you've been following it, but it's just fun. Like, I get the sensation, like, there's a little voice in my brain that's telling me, like, hey, there are some flaws in the show. It might not be the greatest show in the world, but it is so entertaining.
I made it through about 5 or 6 episodes. I'll probably keep watching it. I am enjoying it. I'm a little let down by the production value on it, but no, it's good. I enjoy Attack on Titan. I can see why it is this phenomenon. The story is very compelling, and it introduces something new pretty often enough to keep you interested. It's not stagnant. The story isn't stagnant.
Right. Even though, really, like, the premise itself, I feel like, is very, you know, it's a very traditional premise. But there's just something about, like, the Titans themselves and the mystery of these Titans that I think really propels the show.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid manga spoilers, because with a show like that, you know, most people in internet forums have read scanlations of up through whatever the most recent chapter is. And so they're all really coy about it, and they're like, oh, well, wait till you see what happened. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to avoid all discussion of this. But I've read enough of the manga to know, you know, where it's going. And cause I've read, like, the first 3. I think they've only published 4 or 5 in English. Volumes of the manga. I've read up through 3. I've read past where the story is right now. I'm glad that this seems to be shaping up to be a big hit.
Yeah.
It kind of needed to be.
Right.
It seemed like it was, and it's nice when something where everyone's talking about it, everyone's still talking about it this many episodes in, that's nice. Because so often we see, like, oh, this show's going to be the next big thing, and then after it premieres, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
This seems to just be building momentum. So that's good.
Yeah. I've completely avoided any mention or looking at the manga at all, so I'm... Each episode is fresh to me, which is kind of the way I like it. You know, I'm not that big of a manga reader, so for me, it just helps to just only, you know, watch each episode as it comes.
Yeah, totally. That's a good week to week show too.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel like I need to see more than one in a given week. It's there is the occasional show where you're like, oh man, I just want to see the next one right now.
Right.
Attack on Titan. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. Like, you know, I'm fine waiting for the next one.
And the characters are cool, with the exception of like the main guy, which actually I don't care about Eren at all. Like, I don't know anyone who is like, oh man, Eren's the shit, because he's really kind of just this boring, like, man, gung ho ideals kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But all the side characters, and I think they're a lot more interesting. And so,
I kind of hope that winds up. On Toonami with a well-timed DVD release.
Right.
I feel like it could be a pretty big hit over here. Yeah. In terms of getting a little bit more mainstream than your average, what we consider to be a quote-unquote hit nowadays.
Right.
That's cool. I would imagine you're still watching Flowers of Evil.
I am. Yeah. I actually just recently caught up, and it's...
I did today, yeah.
Whew. Hmm.
I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast before with you. I wonder what you really think of it, because I was starting to lose interest about episode 4 or 5. I was like,
right,
okay, and then episode 7. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, and fuck.
Right, episode 7 is great, and it's actually the first time where, like. I feel like the characters are more like people and not just these weird caricatures that I feel like don't exist. Because up until that episode, watching it is like it's an extremely uncomfortable show to watch.
Yeah.
Like every single second, you're just like, oh man, don't say that, don't do that. Duh. It's just really weird. And then the end of episode 7 is like this like cathartic moment, which. Sort of. I mean, it's sort of cathartic, I guess.
No, it is. It totally is.
It is, but in a weird way, it's a really fascinating show. I think after every episode, I make a mental note to, like, process my thoughts on it later, but then I feel like I never really sit down and process how I feel about the show.
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about it plenty on this show. Justin and I have, anyway. We're both pretty big fans of it, and it is the first show that I have. This and maybe I'm just getting back into watching stuff week to week, but this and Attack on Titan are some of the first shows that I've actually watched week to week and haven't waited for the season to end and then wait for people to tell me whether or not it's good before I actually go in and watch it. And Flowers of Evil, I find, even though it is the slowest burn in the world.
Right.
And, you know, to wit, like, episode 7 has this, for people who aren't watching it, if you got bored early on, stick with it through episode 7. And it is a show where I would not look down on anyone for watching it at double speed, just because it is so slowly paced. And only about, you know, one or two things happen in any given episode. I mean, if you just want to get through it and you just want to see it, double speed. That could be your friend, you know, if you pay attention. But once you get to episode 7, there's an absolutely gorgeous sequence at the end that I think is one of the nicest looking things I've seen in anime in a long time. Just the way that whole thing is filmed kind of blew me away.
Yeah.
There's a very climactic moment at the end, and it kind of... strips away one of the layers of the show and changes everything. And it's totally worth sticking with until that point. Now, unfortunately, the episode right after it is so slow moving that I was like, oh God, okay, so anytime something big happens, we've got to slow down to an absolute crawl. We've got to go from going 5 miles an hour to 10 miles an hour to 50 miles an hour to 2 miles an hour. Like,
right.
Like, oh God. get to the point. But again, the biggest reservation I have on this show is it's only 13 episodes. It's only got another five episodes left or so. I don't know where it's going to go. The manga is much longer than that. I'm curious if they're going to get to any of the stuff that I've seen happen in the manga at all in this show. That's my chief concern. But as it currently exists, it is one of the most interesting and artistically captivating shows I have seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it's definitely different for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, which is what I like about it. You know, it doesn't feel like another, you know, yet another cookie cutter, whatever.
Right. yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, so anything else from Spring that's really sticking out to you that you would highly recommend people check out?
You know, so a show that I was liking a lot was Gargantia, but it's right now it's kind of hit like a weird patch where it's like up and down, and so I've kind of lost a little steam on it, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I guess mostly just the same two that you mentioned, you know, Attack on Titan, Flowers of Evil. Those are the ones. Oh, actually, that mermaid show, Moromi-san. The first few episodes, I was really lukewarm on it. I was like, oh man, this is stupid. Like, oh, fucking, there's a mermaid, but it's reached a point now where I think the humor is a lot better than it was in the first few episodes. I'm actually like laughing out loud while I'm watching it, so that has been a pleasant surprise for me.
Cool. Yeah,
and it's only 12 minutes long, so you know, it's not like you're stuck there for 25 minutes watching some crappy joke.
Does that get a story, or is it just gag?
It's just gags, yeah.
Hmm.
But because she's, like, millions of years old, she's also friends with all these, like, random, like, supernatural sea creatures, so she's friends with, like, water dragons and kappa and all this stuff, and it kind of lends itself to, like, a kind of a quirky, weird friend of the day, you know, show, and it's kind of fun. But, yeah, it doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, maybe I'll check it out eventually. I don't know. 12 minutes, yeah.
Not too tough to do that. It won't change your life if you do or you don't watch it, you know? So
I do want to talk about something that changed my life.
Okay.
And Bamboo, I'm pretty sure this show changed your life too. And that would be Sword Art Online.
God, Jesus.
So I watched all of Sword Art Online in the last week. And that's because I had to write interview questions for the director. And I gotta tell you, Bamboo, Sword Art Online fucking broke me. It broke me. I just had my head in my hands. Like, about halfway through the first season, I realized what it was.
Right.
And it just kept getting worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't understand why this thing was such a huge hit.
I know why
this show was such a big hit, but it pissed me off and made me just so upset through most of it. Sword Art Online, man. I would imagine, like, you watched this as it aired, I'm sure.
I did, yeah. And, you know, I probably broke around the same time you broke, because the first few episodes, pretty interesting.
Yes, okay.
And then...
So, here's the problem with this show. Here's my first problem with this show. So, it starts out with a really interesting premise, which is, everyone knows the premise of Sword Art Online. At this point, at least the people who listen to this show probably know the premise of Sword Art Online. MMO comes out that everyone's hotly anticipating. You have to put this helmet on your head, and it turns out that you put this helmet on your head, and it's a fully immersive VR experience. And it turns out the programmer of the game is evil, and... was running some sort of horrible experiment where if you die in the game, you die in real life. Interesting premise for a game, for a game and for a show. Then the show completely drops all of that, and you really don't hear about it much. And after about three or four episodes, I feel like you get the gist of what the show is about, which is. This is about perfect, flawless main character and his amazing waifu.
Right.
And it is It is my waifu, the show.
And then they fucking play house and adopt a child.
They play house, they adopt a child, they get married. The lead female character turns from a badass head of a guild who everyone respects for her strong combat skill and leadership abilities into mewling, I'm going to make you a sandwich and watch you sleep in my lingerie. And I need to be rescued all the time. Waifu.
I think there could have been a better way to do that. And I'll tell you why, is because originally when Asuna said that she wanted to leave the front lines, my thought was, okay, well, yes, because you don't want to die. Now that you're in a relationship, you now have something to live for and you don't want to die. This makes sense.
Right.
But they didn't really keep going down that road like I thought they would, because what I have been missing the entire show up until then is I felt like the show really lacked any real-world consequences for what happened in the game.
Yeah,
if you die, you die. But you don't see their families grieving.
Nothing.
Right? You don't see their loved ones grieving. You don't see this emotional thing happen other than them just exploding from the game. And so when I got to the point in which this, you know, awesome badass fighter chick is like, oh man, you know, I want to take some time off from fighting, I was okay with that at first. Because I thought, okay, this makes sense. You've fallen in love, you don't want to die, you know, or at least for the time being, you want to enjoy, you know, the blush of being in a new relationship without possibly dying the next day. But then it just never went anywhere from there. Then it turned into this weird fucking Rose Petal Cottage shit.
Yeah, this weird play pretend relationship that the focus was so heavy on that stuff, and I was like, wait, this show had such an interesting premise going into it, and all it is this magic waifu stuff. Oh, I was so let down. And it's funny too, because there were moments where they could have shown you some interesting elements of the plot, of the overarching plot anyway, at least in the first season. We haven't even started talking about the second season yet. But in the first season, you know, they go back to the town of beginnings, which is where, you know, anyone who's played an MMO, the town you spawn into first. You know, that's where you get your first set of armor, and maybe you buy a house there or whatever. And this is like 2 years down the line. And so this place must be close to out of food. It must have a lot of people who are really scared to even go out into the regular world, people who have given up. You know, like, there could have been a million different things they could have done with that, and they do nothing with it. Like, nothing. It is just Kirito and Asuna, and look at this perfect couple, and oh gosh, don't you wish you were Kirito. Like,
I thought the presence of the orphans was kind of cool, though. I mean, at least
that was kind of neat, I guess, but, you know, one of my biggest complaints about this show, it only has two characters.
Right.
It gets a third character in the second season, which, ugh. But for the first season, even though everyone's like, oh, stop watching after episode 14, because that's when it gets really bad, I thought it got pretty bad halfway through the first season. Like, it focuses so much on the waifu stuff that I lost interest. I'm like, this is just otaku wish fulfillment. That's all it is. And there's only two fucking characters. Like, there's all these other characters they could have done something with, given them some more depth, given them some kind of a backstory, had them be more active. But no, they're so focused on this just god-awful, like, idealized relationship between the two leads that all the other shit just falls by the wayside. I was so let down. Like, I really had a huge problem with it, even just in that first season.
Up until then, you also meet some characters here and there, but they don't stick around long enough, and which is upsetting, because there was one character, I don't remember her name, some chick with black hair who dies, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, no, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I think her name starts with an S, I don't remember, but that episode I actually really liked, because here you have a character in a game who is confessing that she is absolutely fucking petrified.
Right.
Of dying. And everything that she does, she's scared of dying. And that, to me, is the first time in the entire show up until that point where people are like, no, wait, let's remember that we can't die in this game.
Right.
And that's, I mean, so much of my complaint about the show is that you don't have enough of that, you know, which is why I was okay, actually, when they left the front lines to play house for a while, you know, but that also stopped somewhere. Like, it just, there's all these little things, little ideas that could have gone somewhere that never go anywhere. And I remember complaining about how we never see anything in the real world. And, you know, people would say, like, well, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in the real world, da 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 da. But I think it does. Like, we have to care that these are people who literally cannot die in a video game. Like, that is, it should really be heavier than it is, which is basically fluff.
No. In fact, if you took that entire thing out, if you took that whole thing out about, they're strapped into these virtual reality helmets, and they, you know, if they die in the game, they die in real life, you could take that out. It takes up, I would say, maybe 10 minutes of the first season. I would say maybe 10 minutes. And ultimately, it winds up being set up for the incredibly stupid-ass plot twist that happens at the beginning of the second season.
Which I don't even understand. you know what? So I don't care how long the novel series is. I don't care if there's like 15. I don't care if it's like the Boxcar Twins and there's 8 like million books. Just stop at the end of the first one, because after that, it's outrageous and it's stupid.
Yeah, well, it. Okay, so what happens in this show, for people who haven't seen it, basically, the first season actually takes place in the game Sword Art Online. The second season starts with Kirito having to save his beloved Asuna from an evil tycoon who has captured 300 people who are still trapped in a version of Sword Art Online that then got turned into another game that somehow the government is still allowing people to make games for this totally manipulatable virtual reality helmet that can kill people. For some reason, they're still allowing that to happen, even though thousands died the last time one of these games came out.
Why are people still buying this helmet?
I don't know.
I have heard, because I didn't read the books, because I don't care, but someone was like, well, you know, they, like, made some tweaks on the helmet. This is a different version. I still would not put that fucking thing on my head.
Yeah, no, you still wouldn't.
Like, no, because that's stupid.
It would never pass. Something like that would just, it would never pass any kind of regulatory check. It just wouldn't. Like, oh, you made this thing that last time you did it killed thousands, but here's the same thing, slightly different. No, forget it. Like, it just doesn't make any, it's just fucking awful.
That company would be in a legal battle for, like, the next 15 years.
Yeah, it wouldn't have just been, like, 2 or 3 years later. It would have taken forever for something like that to come back. But, so he goes into this new game, which is fairies. It's all elves and fairies and shit. And then it introduces the incest side. So he has a little sister with huge cans who really wants to bone him. Turns out she's not his sister, she's just his cousin. That dominates the second season, and it's basically, my little sister wants to fuck me, and I need to save my waifu, because Asuna is trapped inside this, inside the Sword Art Online helmet, and is just gonna get, like, the evil tycoon is gonna marry her in her hotel room, or something. It's so fucking bad! Like, I never
finished the second season, I couldn't do it.
I finished the whole thing out.
Oh, God.
And it... Oh,
well, spoiler, God. Does he save his waifu from her evil cage of helmetry?
He saves his waifu, and the ultimate message of the show is, hey, isn't it better in the virtual world than it is in real life? Yeah, it sure is. That's pretty basically, like, the ultimate message. And it focuses a lot more on his relationship with his little sister that wants to fuck him.
You know, even at the end of the first season, right, when they, like, manage to, like, deprogram Sword Art Online or whatever, and then they get out, like, there's no, like, conflict resolution. Like, it just happens, like, clap, clap, oh, it's done. By the way, we just, like, input this bug, and now everyone's, yay! Like, that's it.
There's
what?
No dramatic, there is no dramatic payoff at the end of the first season.
There's no payoff, and, like, when you learn of the evil mastermind's motivations, like, there weren't really any.
No. No, almost not at all. Sword Art Online. I can't believe I watched the whole thing. I really can't believe it.
Because it could have been so good. As a director, I understand, you know, wanting to be faithful to the source material, but why wouldn't you make it better? Why not make a little tweaks, you know? Why not make this evil mastermind some guy who, I don't know, make it be like the what's that Eden something show where, like, he wants to get rid of Neets? Like, make it some kind of message, you know? I don't know.
Eden of the East, yeah.
Something.
Yeah, something. Like, because such a strong premise that just goes fucking nowhere. And it dives headfirst into all these just bullshit otaku wish fulfillment stuff. And it becomes something that, unless you are really vested in those wish fulfillment plot elements, you're not going to get anything out of it. Because I'm sitting here watching this, and it's like, okay, you have an idea, you know, what some people consider, I guess, to be like an idealized wife, and then they like adopt a kid. Ugh.
Don't they like fuck?
Yeah.
In the books?
Yeah, in the books, yeah. There's like an infamous thing where there's a sex scene in the books that is infamous for being really, really poorly written. I believe the phrase is glopping.
Oh, God.
That is what people constantly quote. Now, I don't know if that's the fan translation or if that's what literally it translates to, but glopping is the word that people refer to. Apparently, it's a really terrible sex scene. But yeah, no, they do, of course, they have sex, and it's implied in the show. it's not explicit, but it's implied. But, you know, that's... fuck that show, man. Fuck it. I really, really did not enjoy the experience of sitting through that goddamn thing.
I mean, you're late to the party, and you should have just stayed outside.
I know, but you know, I you know, but at the same time, I am glad I watched it because the director is a smart guy, and I want my questions for him to be informed and not, you know, coming from a place where I have knowledge of the entire show and I can ask him, you know, why without being antagonistic or anything like. You know, hey, why did you feel any trepidation going into the second season? How did you feel about the source material? At any point, did you feel like it might have been a good idea to focus a little bit more on some of these other, you know, outside world elements? You know, questions that are at least informed by having watched the show.
Right.
Rather than being based on, I don't know, like, hype or having only watched the first 6 or 7 episodes or whatever. I wanted to have a full picture of what the show is because it was a phenomenon. Like, the show is hugely popular and remained
so. It made a ton of money.
And it made a ton of money. So, you know, and you know, for my own sake, it's important to, especially you as well, we work in this field. It's important for us to be really familiar with the shows that are big hits.
Right.
So, you know, whether or not I enjoyed it is one thing. But, you know, having full knowledge of what the show actually is, that's another thing.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I don't regret it. But I kind of do. Fuck that show, man. Anyway, so the other thing I checked out was Appleseed 13.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Do you know anyone that likes the way that the Appleseed CG looks? Anyone? Like a single person?
I mean, I don't hate it. It is, I don't know. I don't have strong feelings about the Appleseed franchise, so I guess I've never cared.
Do you look at it and think, that looks good?
No, but, you know, I...
You don't. You look at it and go, eh.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I guess this is technically an OVA. I only got through a little bit of, like, I think I watched, like, an episode, maybe and a half. The animation is not quite at the level that the second movie was. It looks worse than the second movie. I have no interest in watching any more of it than that. But it sure is more Appleseed. I don't understand why people think that CG looks acceptable. To me, it's completely atrocious.
Why are people still making more Appleseed? I don't know.
I don't know who is so into Appleseed.
Well, like, recently I watched some Tenchi Muyo spinoff, and why did that even happen?
The War on Geminar? Yeah.
Who was asking, like, man, I wish I could watch more Tenchi Muyo in 2013.
plenty. I'm sure plenty of people are. It's a perennial.
A spinoff, though? Really? That's not... Why not just go back to the original? Reboot it, for all I care. Don't...
That would... You know what?
Kenshi's half-brother. Who gives a shit?
There you go. Like, reboot Tenchi Muyo. Just start it over. Like, same characters, just redesign them. You know, update it. I'd be fine with that. I would actually be a little excited to see that.
Yeah.
Just to see what they would do with it.
There's a lot of old series I feel like they could reboot and have it be interesting and just see, you know, and see whether or not over time we have learned anything or if, you know, if we've gone in the opposite direction. Who knows? Like, if they rebooted something like Oh My Goddess, it could be great. It could be terrible. But, I mean, I would be fascinated to see it.
Well, a lot of this stuff, you know, fealty to source material is such a... To me, it's a roadblock to creativity.
Right.
You know, you say, like, oh, reboot Oh My Goddess. You know, the odds that they would not just start from the beginning of the manga and it would be exactly like the manga and look exactly like the reboot, the at least the design reboot of Oh My Goddess from, like, the early 2000s.
Oh, right.
Where it's just slightly glossier. Slightly glossier, slimmed down, less 80s-looking versions of those characters. But you'd still kind of wind up telling the exact same story. I wish they'd get a little bit more creative with this stuff. Like, give me a crazy-ass version of Tenchi. Like, take right. Tenchi, like, just blow it up. Do something real wild with it. That would be fun. Unfortunately, I think people, like... I think I'm in a dramatic minority of people who are okay with that kind of thing and just want to see something new versus people who, if they rebooted Tenchi and totally screwed with all the characters and, like, made it look totally different, would just cry foul and complain.
I see. Yeah, I'm completely okay with people completely rebooting and changing something. I mean, it's, you know, people who are watching it for the first time who never saw the original, they don't know. They don't care. And if it's better, if it's more interesting, why not? Then it's something different. You know, like, that's my thing. If you want to watch the original, just watch the original.
Yeah. It's not like the new one existing has erased all memory of the original. Or has somehow someone came into your house and took your DVDs away.
You're never watching this Tenchi ever again.
Yeah, they burn all original copies. You'll never be able to see it again. that wouldn't happen. So, you know, I don't know. Something new like that would be. I'd be down with that. But yeah, so unless you're a huge fan of the way Appleseed looks, or for whatever reason you're the guy that's really into Appleseed, I would say stay away from Appleseed 13. I don't know. Not a lot positive this week. It's just Flowers of Evil and Attack on Titan sure are good. People should watch those. But, yeah.
Oh! I recently, finally, watched Rose of Versailles. At least the first season, or first chunk, or whatever.
Yeah, you reviewed it in Shelf Life, and you said you were reluctant, because you just, for whatever reason, you were just like, I don't know, and then you finally watched it. And
yeah, there's so much hype, you know?
Oh, totally,
and it's not just hype about, oh, this is a good show. It's like hype about, like, oh, man, Oscar is gonna completely change your view on feminism, you know, whatever, like, that kind of hype. And it's like, oh, my God, what am I getting into? Yeah, it was actually really good. It's really fascinating. So I was, you know, congrats to Viki and Right Stuff for releasing it. And Viki? No, but...
I think it's Viki.
Vaikai.
I don't think that's it. But so that first set is like what? Is it 13 or 20?
It's like 20 episodes, I think.
26, something like that.
But it's really good. I think Oscar, I mean, you know, it definitely helps knowing that whenever you're annoyed at a character, like, you know what's going to happen to him. Right. But, you know, Oscar's fantastic and she's really fascinating. She kind of like, reminds me of, I guess, the way that I sometimes view other women.
Okay.
it's interesting. Oscar, she has this, because she's raised as a boy, like, she has this almost self-loathing of women, not necessarily like of all of like the female gender, but just some of the more like frivolous parts of it. That I think is fascinating, but that's largely shaped because she was raised in a way to look down on such things. It's just a very complex thing, and I think it's very relatable to any female who's ever thought, like, man, why can't we as a gender stop, you know, being so trivial over such XYZ, you know, stop gabbing about our nails or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. As a woman, I think it's just a very fascinating, you know, I don't want to call it like a self-loathing, but as it is, it's almost like a, like, seeing your own gender through the lens of a gender that is not necessarily been raised to think the most positive things about your gender. Does that make sense? It's,
yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's cool. It's really interesting. Definitely do not regret watching it, so.
Cool.
Yeah, anime.
I'm looking forward to it. I've got a copy of that myself. I'm looking forward to sitting down. Okay, so we got a bunch of Twitter questions. Let's get started on these.
Okay.
Okay. BlueAlexander93 asks, thoughts on Sword Art Online coming to Toonami? Yay, nay, or what the fuck? First half, sure. Second half, what the fuck? I don't know what they're going to do with that. The incest stuff is so over the top.
But also, it's just, you know, it's just bad in general. The second season is just bad. So, meh. What the fuck? Why bother?
Well, they've got, you know, 13 weeks before they'll get there, so 13, 14 weeks before they'll get there, so maybe. I don't know.
That'll be a shock.
I think the first couple episodes will probably make a big impression and maybe get people excited about it or whatever. But the problem is that anyone watching that show on Toonami who gets excited about it will then go on the internet and look for it and find out everything they need to know. So, I don't know. I having now seen it for myself, I don't know if it's such a good fit. I don't know if it's a good fit for Toonami.
I think the first season is a... Oh, but even once you get to the point where he's just playing house, like, what teenage boy wants to watch that shit?
I don't know.
I
have no idea.
I don't know.
Okay. Hazukari asks, anything from the upcoming summer season that you both are looking forward to? I'll tell you. Can't wait to see Free, and can't wait to see the reaction to it, and just how crazy it makes the fanboys.
I'm looking forward to Free. I mean, obviously, as someone with ovaries, I'm looking forward to it, you know? There's a huge difference between watching something where there's, like, pretty boys versus, like, hot dudes and Speedos. Like, totally different. Thank you, Japan, you know, for going out on a limb and making a show about hot dudes that hopefully won't just be touching each other's faces the whole time.
Well, I mean, did you read the plot synopsis?
No. I want to go into it clean.
Okay.
Is it bad?
No. Let me read you the plot synopsis.
Okay. All right. I've been trying to read as little about it as possible because I don't know if I can handle going into it with, like, preconceptions.
Okay, here we go. Okay,
all right.
Here's the plot synopsis. Story revolves around Haruka, a boy who has always loved to be immersed in water and to swim in it. After years of separation, his childhood friend Rin challenges him to a swimming match, showing Haruka his overwhelming power. Not wanting it to end like this, Haruka gathers together Makoto and Nagisa once again and also brings a new member, Rei, to create the Iwatobi High School Swimming Club. They come together for a story of swimming, youth, and friendship.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Right, okay. So,
okay.
This is basically K-On! For the maybe a little bit more plot than K-On!
With hot dudes and Speedos. So, sure. Actually, it turns out I have read that synopsis. I thought they released, like, more. I thought they released...
No, that's it. Yeah, that's
okay.
Pretty much
no,
it.
No. Yeah. Whatever. It sounds... It's... Whatever.
I just... The fact that that show drives the hardcore otaku kids so fucking crazy makes me laugh so hard.
They're just scared because maybe... You know, because it's dudes.
I guess. And I think you're right about the fact that this may be one of the first times where it's not just, oh, this is fan service for girls because there's attractive men in it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is straight up fan service for girls.
Yeah.
Like, real fan service for girls, like, in the same way that male fan service is, you know, like, if there's a whole lot of like underwater taint shots, then we'll know. Like, we'll know what they're doing, you know.
They'll just be like in class, just wearing Speedos, and then while they're learning about history, it'll just be like a shot of their junk wiggling under the seat.
I'm just happy to see the reversal. Like, I hope that they take it as far as they can, because it just amuses me greatly.
It'll be fun.
I really want to see the reaction to it. And frankly, like, the hype around that show is so huge. I kind of hope it becomes this gigantic hit and it changes the landscape of the industry so that
Right. It's
not so lopsided towards this one group of people and what they want. Then it becomes a little bit more open to, let's just blatantly pander to literally as many people as we possibly can.
Well, and what's funny is that, you know, the second they released that CM, like, there's just been cries about, like, oh, hypocrisy, how come it's bad for us to watch this, but it's okay for women? You know, just let it be. Let me enjoy some hot dudes, and then let's talk about it later, you know? Let me have a piece of cake, too. Come on. Jeez.
Yeah, I would buy into the, oh, what double standard argument a little bit more. Like, I would be okay with that. Or that argument would seem less ridiculous to me if they weren't so nasty and weird about it. Like, if there's anything we could point out here, at least from my perspective, in the case of Free, if there's anything we could point out here, it's that, look, we are equal opportunity weirdos and, like, leering weirdos. We're equal opportunity leering weirdos. And let's just accept that for what it is. It doesn't have to be, like, my shit versus your shit. We're all kind of creeps. Let's just enjoy
our
creepy
be creeps
shit.
Together.
Yeah.
You look at your K-On figures. I'll look at my hot dudes and Speedos figures. It's fine. Let's go to the same shows and read the same, you know, same crap. And let's just
promote togetherness in our weirdo-ness, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. That's what I hope comes out of that. I doubt that'll happen, but we'll see. I don't know. Other than that, hey, there's a new show called Silver Spoon that's based on something from Arakawa, the guy who did, or the, it's a lady that drew Full Metal Alchemist, right?
Yes,
I want to say. Yes. Anyway, new thing from the mangaka of Full Metal Alchemist. We'll see if it's any good or not. Those are kind of the two big shows, I think. And then there's a whole bunch of Moe stuff. Moe and fan service stuff. Okay. DMH2148 asks, Attack on Titan was picked up by Funimation. What other current streaming titles would you like to see get a Blu-ray? Well, Flowers of Evil, it's already getting a Blu-ray.
G.I. Voodoo.
Yeah, there's a question about that coming up, actually. So we'll get to that. And the others asks, do you think the Time of Eve Kickstarter success will lead to more anime Kickstarter projects, or is it too small to make an impact? I think Time of Eve is a special thing because this is, that show continuously gets talked up. Like, it's been, that is perennially recommended to me. I still haven't watched it. Sorry, I should. But it has a very dedicated fan base. And they did it just right. They did it on Kickstarter. They offered proper rewards for it. And it had enough of a fan base to generate a really successful Kickstarter. So, great. Good for them. I don't know that other things will be as successful. I'm pretty sure that was in a very unique position where they could do it that way. I don't know that it's going to be the harbinger of more like it. But we'll see. I'm sure other people will try, but I'm not sure other things would be as successful. Ryoji Kaji Lynch asks, Bamboo, have you watched Ava 3.33? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I have not watched it yet.
All right. The Omidan asks, like all humor, anime humor is highly subjective. What shows or episodes have been amusing you lately? Anything making you laugh lately?
There's... It's been a really long time since I've watched a show that consistently makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. There are shows that, you know, there's one or two scenes in the middle that makes me laugh. Murumi-san is one show that makes me laugh. occasionally. There's a lot of the shows, a lot of the humor ones are those 3-minute shows, and I don't tend to watch those just because I just don't have the time to write about all of them.
Well, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, and there's you know, when it comes to those 3-minute shows, even if someone's watching 2 episodes of them, it will take them longer to read your review than it will take them to watch the episode.
Right.
So that seems like a waste of time to me.
Yeah, I do wish I wish there were more shows like Polar Bear Cafe with that type of humor than just like endless gag, like you know, 4-panel comedies, because those are kind of all the same. And sometimes, you know, there are scenes that are funny. There are some gags that are funnier than others. But I feel like, you know, if you just swap out the characters, maybe they're all the same. And I really just wish there was more Polar Bear Cafe, which is just more kind of that, like, absurdist, kind of quirky, weird, like, sarcastic humor almost. Like, right. You know, jokes that are actually written by people who have thought about them and not just like, oh, here's 4 girls doing some wacky shit. Ain't that funny?
He fell into her tits. Bah, bah, bah,
bah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Polar Bear Cafe is legitimately funny, and it was one of the few shows in recent memory.
Yeah.
One of the few anime in recent memory that I found legitimately funny, but I'm really picky about comedy, so. Yeah, no, nothing lately that's actually made me laugh. But anyway, Red Train Claire asks, any guesses on why it's taking so long for Funimation, Sentai, etc. to reach agreements over former Bandai shows? This is predicated on the notion that A, those licenses are available already, which they might not be, and B, you're sort of suggesting that somehow it's been too long. Bandai hasn't been shuttered for that long. And the contracts are a long process. Give it some time, man. Like, I think you're sort of imposing a time limit on something that is not really based in reality. I think it's more like, I think it should have taken this long for someone to have licensed Cowboy Bebop, and all those things are different, and there's no real way to predict exactly how long it should take for someone to license X or Y or whatever. So, you know, try not to impose a set of rules onto a business that you don't necessarily have a full understanding of how it actually works. That's a good way to go. And a really good way to keep from being frustrated about, why is it taking so long for this to happen? Because you don't really know how long it takes for that stuff to happen. Yeah, but anyway. Crossmaps asks, for Bamboo, how much more benefit of the doubt do you give shows while watching for the stream versus watching for pleasure?
A lot more, actually. Let me predicate this by saying I rarely watch anything for pleasure anymore. I just don't have the time, you know? So usually if I am watching for something for pleasure, it is also because I am trying to review it. But, you know, I mean, if I were to at least compare even, like, the stuff that I watch, like live-action TV, for instance, versus something for the stream, I'm a lot more likely to give to really hold out on shows for the stream. Like, I will watch a show until I absolutely can't fucking handle it anymore. you know, and part of it is because, there have been a few cases in the past where I have been surprised. You know, I have, like, completely sworn off a show and then 3-4 episodes later just got really good, and then, you know, I'm glad I stuck it through. But also because shows change every single season, it's a lot easier for me to keep my interest in a show. So sometimes I'll keep going until I just, you know, throw my hands up and say, like, I can't do this anymore. And sometimes that ends up being, like, literally, like, 2 episodes before the end, and people are like, well, you're almost there. You should have kept watching. It's like, no, I can't. I can't do this anymore. But, yeah.
Evan R. Jones asks, do you feel that the recent second wave of 80s nostalgia will also extend to anime productions? Is there a second wave of 80s nostalgia? I thought we were full on into 90s nostalgia at this point.
I hope we're into 90s. The 90s were the best decade.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shut up, Zach. What? 90s are great. I was a 90s kid.
I wasn't aware we were in a second wave of 80s nostalgia. The answer to your question, I think, is no.
That'd be great for Justin, though. He'd love those dance with thighs. Just get endless, endless anime about women in leg warmers.
All right, all right. See here, .04 asks, how did you guys come to write about anime? I assume you went to film school. I did. You didn't.
I did not.
You are still in school, technically.
Yeah.
You went into a much more lucrative field. But I did go to film school. I started writing about anime in college not long after Anime News Network launched. I wrote about it because I liked it, and I still write about it because I like it. So that's how that happened. What about you?
Yeah, well, my bachelor's is in biomedical engineering, and I'm finishing up a PhD in biochemistry right now.
Well, la-di-da!
Well, then, so...
Look at me, I'm a doctor!
Film school. But, a lot of it happened because I was in the right place at the right time. You know, I really enjoyed anime and writing about it, and that happened to be when Chris was hiring reviewers, so... That's how it all started, and I've just been here since.
Yeah. you've been around about as long as I have.
Yeah, it's been... Jesus.
Too long.
A long time.
Oh, I still love it, though. All right. What's your name asks, what are your thoughts on the production issues with Attack on Titan? Those will all be fixed for the DVD, I am sure. I would imagine they're going to go back and fix all that stuff. Although, at the same time, like, I just look at it as, hey, this animation's real shoddy. Like, there's a lot of still frames in this thing. I assume it's a studio that's maybe a little overwhelmed with it. It doesn't really bother me that much in the moment, but it would be neat to see a better animated version of that, I guess. It'd be really neat to see some of that stuff with, like, theatrical quality animation. That would be neat. Have you even picked up on the production issues?
I haven't really thought about it. It's not... I mean, for me, I consume so much anime that it... Unless something is of amazing quality, I don't expect it to be.
Okay. So you're basically saying, like I have a reasonable expectation of television right. quality animation when it comes to anime. Everything right. kind of looks like this. If there's, like, one too many still frames, you don't really notice it that much. You
know? Whatever.
People are
I'm
nitpicking.
Still enjoying it. I don't care. Personally, I don't care.
Right. People are nitpicking at Attack on Titan a little too much. I think that, you know, the complaints about the show are exaggerated. What a shock. Complaints exaggerated on the internet.
Right. I mean, you know, like last season, I think, near the end of Psychopaths, the production values just plummeted. But yeah, you know what? Whatever. Yeah. It's a TV show. I don't care.
They'll fix it in post.
Yeah. I'm still entertained. I don't give a damn.
Okay. Jay Scarp asks, should I import the upcoming Australian release of Chihaya Furu, or is there any hope of a U.S. release? You can import that. I don't know. I would hold out a little hope. That show's got enough. Stop me from wrong here. It's got enough of a U.S. fan base where I wouldn't be surprised if a smaller company maybe picked it up at some point. Don't hold your breath. Like, it's a fucking long shot. But it's not impossible that it's going to get licensed here.
I'm holding out.
You're going to hold out hope.
And I fucking love that show, but I'm not going to pre-order just yet. It's a really good show. I have faith in the quality of the show and the rabidness of the fans that I'm holding out hope, and I think we will get a good release of it.
I hope so. It deserves it. I mean, it's a fucking long shot. Like, anyone taking a chance on that thing, like, good luck, but we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? But, I mean, if you really want it and you don't want to basically live on hope, you may as well go ahead and import it, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Keikaku Cat asks, do you ever watch Support Toonami? It's okay if you don't. Is there any anime you think would be perfect for the block? I do not watch Toonami regularly. Every now and then I'll turn it on Saturdays and just kind of leave it on in the background. I don't know. I support that. I mean, I want that to continue. In terms of what anime I think would be perfect for the block, the days of something like Cowboy Bebop and Fooly Cooly breaking out into the mainstream, and I think those days are done. I think we're past that. And if the idea is something's going to be on Toonami and it's going to be a huge hit and everyone's going to love anime again and it's going to be this super mainstream, no, forget it. Like, the best chance you have with something airing on Toonami is that it does actually, sell some DVDs or get a little bit of a mainstream acceptance going on. It's not what it used to be. It just isn't. Adult Swim isn't what it used to be. Like, in general.
Is Hunter x Hunter anywhere?
No.
That should be on there.
Well, it ain't.
Well, it should be. And that's the question, isn't it, Zach? What should be? And Hunter x Hunter should be on Toonami. That's a great show. It's really fun.
Yeah, you're probably right on that one. Those long-running shonens, though, I don't know about that stuff. I like, you know, Funimation.
Right, because Dragon Ball Z was so unsuccessful on TV. Come on.
That is an apples and oranges argument if I have ever heard one. You were talking about a show for kids that stripped after school on
Naruto.
4 p.m. Yeah, Naruto did okay. It didn't do it wasn't huge or anything.
It was
popular enough, but, I mean, you know, what now? I mean, I guess Hunter x Hunter, I guess you could try that, but...
Toriko.
Toriko, I think, could do way better on Toonami. Just the gimmick of it, I think, would appeal to Americans.
Fun.
I think it would appeal to Americans a lot more.
I really wish, and this would never happen in a bajillion years, I wish, late night, Adult Swim, they would play, Spice Brothers, you know, something for, older people to watch. But I guess it doesn't have enough tits to be on, Adult Swim. But that's a good show.
not enough
Great.
Tits. Okay. Neftis, whatever. This guy asks... Do you guys feel the expensive Aniplex model shuts out a lot of fans that can't get the cash together? Yes.
Yes.
It shuts out people who can't afford them. Just like every product that is expensive shuts out people who can't afford it. There are a few things I am more tired of than the Aniplex is expensive thing. Yes, they are. They've chosen to do that. They're not changing. You may have noticed by now, they are not changing. There is no point in complaining about it. Okay. Ben the Bear asks, have either of you seen Miami Connection? I have not.
Nope.
And this is a big hole in my collection. I have it. I have not seen it. I look forward to seeing it. Okay. John DCP asks, any reviews down the pipeline that you two are looking forward to publishing or doing? So I'm pretty sure this is aimed at me. A little while ago I said, hey, I'm going to review this, this, and this, and then kind of never did. the chief reason for that being, the one I get asked about the most is Penguin Drum. I haven't reviewed it. At least not in text form. We did an hour on it. You were here for that. We did an hour on it on the podcast. I kind of feel like I said what I have to say on that show. That being said, it does need a written review on the site, and I feel like I will get to it, but I'm not going to put a timeline on that. It's just a very difficult show to write about, as you know.
Yes.
So I'm not going to promise that it's ever going to happen. I want to do it, but... From this point forward, I'm not going to commit to a review unless it's been written.
Not that I've ever promised to write a review and didn't deliver, right, Zach?
Yeah, no, it's literally never happened. Every time you say, I'm going to do this, it always happens. Every time. Okay. ABCB Tom asks... Time of Eve has pretty much raised enough money for all of Creamy Mommy. Any thoughts on Kickstarter versus Anime Souls? I don't know. I don't know. I think there were a million different ways they could have done Anime Souls. Sam, I know, tried his best, and he's still trying his best, and there's still a possibility that some of that stuff is actually going to gonna happen. Justin and I talked about this last time. I don't know. Right now I'm looking at it saying, like, what, how could this have been done better, and to suggest that I have the perfect solution is nonsense. But it is a little sad to see the way that it's going. I think if he had started with just a Kickstarter for Creamy Mommy, it probably would be doing better. Instead of launching a whole site. But, again, we've said that on the show before, so... I don't know, man. It's a real tough one. I want all this stuff to succeed. I want it all to happen. It doesn't look like it's gonna. I don't know. I have no idea. Have you checked out Anime Souls? Have you taken a look at what they've got?
I've looked at it.
What's your take?
But I don't know. It's the stuff on Anime Souls caters to a very specific type of fan. You know, I like what they're doing. I think it's a really good idea. I think, I mean, at least in terms, maybe not, I don't know if it's a great, like, idea financial, but in terms of their, the idea behind the site, I think is really great. But I also don't think you can compare a Kickstarter for one property versus a crowd, you know, sourcing idea for a different project. I just... You know, they're different shows, they're different people, they're different exposures. I mean, if, you know, this isn't to say that they can't then take Creamy Mommy and put that on Kickstarter. They still could if they wanted to, you know,
sure,
but I mean.
I guess. I don't know. It's a tough question, and it's a little bit of a shame just to see the way it's going right now. But hopefully at some point. Time of Eve seems to have figured it out. If other people can follow in their footsteps and also have success, fantastic. Great. I wish them all the best of luck.
I think Anime Souls just needs more exposure. I mean, I think, you know, it's a lot easier to get exposure on Kickstarter. It could just be that a lot of people haven't bothered checking out Anime Souls yet. I mean, right now, there's so many ways to watch anime that it's just really hard to compete.
Indeed. Anyway... on that front, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Bamboo, thanks for stopping by and taking all those questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Bamboo for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. We'll see you all next week.